what's right. Fight for your life. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you gotta take a stand. What's up out there? I'm Frank D, and welcome to the official return of the Raw Deal right here on www.gerweck.net, gerweck.net. I'm here right now with my boy, Atlee Green. What's going on, Atlee?
Same old, I'm glad to be here on the Raw Deal. We got quite the array of wrestling topics to talk about today, brother.
Oh yeah, brother, we sure do. But we also have a newcomer here to the GRP scene. His name is T'Shawn Jason. What's going on there, boss?
Yes, it is. It's T'Shawn Jason live in the building from WrestleTalk Media. I'm happy to be here on the Raw Deal, and let's get it cracking.
Absolutely. And by the way, it is July 26, 2015. You know, guys, it's been a crazy, you know, storm of activities in the world of sports entertainment in the last few days. We all know what I'm talking about here, brother. Hulk Hogan, let go by WWE, has been terminated. Basically, they have Chris Benoit, the man. All slogans, all references to Hulk Hogan removed from WWE.com. Merchandise gone from WWE shop. Network programming, including Hulk's Rockin' Wrestling, has been removed. I mean, his anthology sets from the network have been removed. I mean, they have basically, you know, as I said before, Chris Benoit, this guy from WWE history, basically because Hulk Hogan went on a racial rant.
You know,
I'm going to start with you. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny about the whole network thing because I was actually going through the network to see, like, what they took off, and you're right. They took off any of the specials, any of the countdown specials that had Hulk Hogan in them. They took down, like, the WrestleMania one where they chronicled his match with Andre, chronicled his match with the Warrior. But what was funny was they're showing an array of Saturday night's main events right now on the network. And when you go to the various episodes of Saturday night's main event where Hogan wrestled, the cover image is of him getting beat up or in a maneuver or some type. Like, they had one episode where the cover screen image is King Kong Bundy has him in a rear naked choke. Another image of Bob Orton, like, you know, put the boost to him. So they're doing everything. That company's doing everything right now to make sure that the public knows that they are no longer in the Hulk Hogan business.
That's too bad.
What about the Hall of Fame? Has he been taken out of the Hall of Fame?
His name is off the Hall of Fame website, but they have not responded to media requests as to whether or not Hulk Hogan is still a member of the Hall of Fame, but his name is not on the Hall of Fame website.
I'm assuming that Hulk Hogan is still in the WWE Hall of Fame, and it would be, in my opinion, dumb for them to take him out. But we're going to start with you, Adley, first. What did you think of the situation with Hulk Hogan when you found out about it?
It was weird on so many levels because, number one, you heard rumblings on Thursday around 9 p.m. Eastern time that WWE was doing whatever it could to scrub the name Hulk Hogan from their website, from their merchandise, you know, licenses. I mean, they've contacted all their merchandise partners and, hey, if you had merchandise in production that Hulk Hogan was a part of, you need to scrap Hulk Hogan, you know. So, and no one knew why. And then early Friday morning, there were rumblings that, you know, Hulk Hogan said something he shouldn't have said. Then an hour later, it kind of came out that, boom, you know, he dropped the N-bomb, you know, several times, went on a racist rant, and then right before noontime, National Enquirer released several transcripts of conversations Hulk Hogan had. The most popular one that's gained the most traction is when Hulk Hogan goes on to criticize his daughter Brooke, you know, about dating a black guy, and he's like, you know, that black billionaire guy offered to fund my daughter's career. You know, I don't know if Brooke was, you know, effing that black guy's son. You know, but I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I am racist to a point, you know, F and N-word. So, I mean, and he went on to say F and N-word a few times, and he said three times in his rant, you know, I am racist. So it's bad enough that he's dropping the N-bomb here and there, but he's also, you know, kind of saying point blank, I am racist. Now, we do have to say, you know, because it wouldn't be irresponsible of us to say that, to not mention this, that this, these comments were made 8 years ago in a sex tape where he didn't know he was being recorded. That's not defending him at all, but it's kind of, some people are saying that maybe it was taken out of context as he didn't know he was being recorded. The way I look at it, if you're in a situation that you're, that you don't think you're being recorded, or you feel completely comfortable, and he said these words when he's completely comfortable, that means he's just telling how he really feels. That means this is how he, this is the real Hulk Hogan.
I look at it like this. It's I don't want to play the conspiracy theorist, but it happened at a fine time, didn't it? At a fine time, this is now being released and this is being reported. Allegedly, what, 8 years the trans wasn't then expired, and now all of this surfaces now at. At the time of this media outtake of race war, and now this drop, you know, it's touched home all the way to wrestling, to the wrestling entertainment aspect of things. It's just, it's something fishy about it. I don't know what's going on.
Well, the thing is, Hulk Hogan was suing Gawker.com for them releasing the sex tape. He's currently in a lawsuit with them where he's suing them for $100 million. And the thing is, though, when he decided, when he made the decision to sue them for $100 million, he had to realize that there was a possibility that this was going to get out. So he took a $100 million gamble, and in the end of the day, he may still get $100 million from this trial if the judge rules in his favor, but, you know, his brand, his name, his legacy is tainted forever.
Well, you know what? My thing is this, is that, you know, what was Hulk Hogan saying before he was recorded in the first place? As you just stated, Adley, the man felt awful, you know, comfortable with this type of verbiage. And, you know, it is fishy, you know, T-Shawn, that this would come out right now. Just kind of like it was fishy when the whole, you know, thing happened with Bill Cosby. Well, we all know now that Bill Cosby was a complete liar as far as what he was doing. You know, but the same thing is like, you know, what's the agenda here? What's the angle here for them to all of a sudden attack Hogan? You know, Hogan has said a lot of stupid shit over the years.
And done.
Okay. Yeah. And done a lot of stupid shit over the years. But the man said what he felt. And I thought in the United States of America, you're supposed to say whatever you feel. You're supposed to feel how you want to feel, say what you want to say, believe what you want to believe in. If the man feels that way, and maybe he was, you know, as he said, was at a low point in his life, you know what? It is what it is. You know, it's not. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I think that it sucks for many, many fans out there that were fans of Hulk Hogan. A lot of them are still fans of Hulk Hogan that are basically saying, you know what, Hulkster, everybody makes mistakes and we forgive you. Me, either way it goes. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, I was never really a Hulk Hogan fan. I only enjoyed his NWO stuff, and that was pretty much it, you know? But if you hold Hulk Hogan accountable for using this type of language, then you need to hold a lot of other people accountable. How come, you know, you're not holding Ric Flair accountable? How come you ain't holding Vince McMahon accountable? Didn't Vince McMahon call John Cena the N-word with the G-A at the end of it on a pay-per-view, but yet WWE is coming out right now and defending that shit, at least?
Oh, yeah, because that was actually a skit during a Survivor Series pay-per-view where Vince McMahon came out in a limo, and he was like, yeah, I can't wait for the show. You know, this guy's going to be there, that guy's going to be there, and he called John Cena, you know, my N-word. And then all of a sudden, they pan away from him, and you got Booker T in the background with a shocked look on his face, and he does this classic, tell me I didn't just hear that. And, of course, a lot of people have been bringing that skit up. And WWE has actually defended it, saying that that was a scripted moment in our show, not meant to offend anybody. And, you know, so they've come out in front right away. You got to give WWE credit for actually firing Hogan and getting rid of him beforehand. Because the thing is, most times, most companies, you know, they wouldn't do this until it got out, and then they would wait and see what the damage was before they made a decision. They saw the writing on the wall, they got rid of him, and what stinks about this, even though they got rid of him before it even came out, they still took a 4% drop in the stock market, which was enough to cost them close to $50 million. They'll probably recover that in due time, but that just tells you, like, how much of an impact this has had on that company.
Well, now, that just tells you that how much of an impact the sponsors have on that company. So you got to look at it on the realistic point of view. Now, I'm pretty sure without the sponsors, you know, intervening, and that's really the ones that gave the call to delete Hogan out of there. Like, hey, we don't want to be associated with it. Delete this guy. But hold on, we can't delete this. We can't delete. He's the icon. We don't give a damn. Delete him. That's pretty much where you're going with that one. The sponsors are the ones that called that shot. It was a skit that was brought up in play of off of Booker T's rant. Booker T's miss up of saying dropping the N-bomb about Hogan. So this was WWE's way of making fun of, you know, the trend, because the video had went viral of Booker T and Stevie Ray and Miss Sensational Sherry in the back interviewing with Gene Oakland, and Booker T drops the N-bomb on Hogan, and then it's like, it just, even though it was old around that time at the Survivor Series, right before that, and that whole time, it was just spinning like viral. Everybody was talking about it. They were making rap songs and collage videos of it. So, you know, of course, WWE was influenced by it, like everybody's talking about it. So let's make a play on it. Let's make a joke about it. And who was the most iconic figure right now in WWE, which is John Cena? He's the Hogan of his time. So let's make a joke about it, and then all of a sudden have Booker T be the one right there. So that it was supposed to be. I caught the joke. I remember viewing it. I remember seeing it live. I caught the joke right then. I said, "Oh, okay. Booker T there is. He called him. Okay, I get it. Ha ha ha." At the same time, I see where it's offensive, because being identified and being a young black male in America, you know, you take certain things, especially when we talk about Hogan and what Hogan's doing, you take certain things to heart, you know, and hearing about, because I'm a big Hogan. I grew up on Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior. I'm big on that. And hearing the news of what just happened and what he did, you know, I also look at things from an understanding point of view. You know, it sound odd to some that people don't do. They don't try to understand everybody's aspect of things. But I understand where Hogan may have been. You know, he was in a comfort zone. You know, he probably just got him some pussy. So he was at a calm note. He was like, okay, I'm calm right now. I'm going to say what I want to say. And I understood that part. But then again, now I know what kind of person he is. But at the same time, at least he didn't say it exactly to someone. You know, right in their face, where he would display that racism which he had kept inside. At least he had enough decency to keep it where it needed to be kept and present it where it needed to be presented. But unfortunately for him, he got exposed. So,
and it's funny because, I mean, what people are talking about, and what I think is hilarious, is that this all happened while he was cheating on his wife with his best friend's girl, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Well, you know something? Here's the thing about this, too. I mean, why would there have been a camera set up there to begin with? Maybe, you know, yeah, he's cheating on his wife with his best friend's girl, but in reality, his best friend is setting him up.
Now, I think it was that Heather Clem. I think she's the one that set it up, because...
I know Bubba knew something about it.
They're probably trying to get a payday out of it. But the thing is, like, this is going to haunt Hulk Hogan for years to come, because, I mean, everybody is covering this. You name it, like, IGN, CNN... Yahoo, you know, People Magazine, you name it, they're covering it. Even Mark Lamont Hill from CNN has actually been covering this extensively on his Twitter feed. And he actually even stated that he read a transcript that hasn't been released, but he read a transcript that he saw Hulk Hogan calling The Rock the N-word and Sambo.
Okay. Wow. You say years to come. How many years did Hogan got? He's pretty up there right now.
Oh, no. I mean, like, that's the thing, because... And realistically, when you look at Hulk Hogan's body of work as of late, not talking about the whole racist thing, he was damaged goods, because the guy can't cut a promo without messing up something major. He can't wrestle. He can't pass the physical. And on top of that, he keeps causing these major flubs. Like when he's out there promoting the product, you know, on a television show, oftentimes he forgets to mention WWE or the show he's promoting. And on top of that, he messed up on Tough Enough this past week, where there's this big football player dude, very hairy. He's Vince McMahon's favorite, and everybody has been told, whatever you do, don't put him in the bottom three to be eliminated. And Hogan, on Tuesday, put that dude in the bottom three. And you should have seen the look on Daniel Bryan and Paige's face when they did that, because it was like, dude, that's the guy Vince told us not to touch. So Hogan just keeps messing up every single which way. I mean, he's not the performer he once was. So I think it also made it a lot easier for WWE to part ways with him. And T-Shirt, you're right about the whole sponsor thing, because I guarantee you, even if they didn't want to fire Hulk Hogan, I'm guaranteeing you that if Mattel Toy Companies, one of their biggest sponsors, called them up and said, hey, look, I don't care what you want to do, fire Hulk Hogan or we walk, guess what? They're firing Hulk Hogan, or anybody for that matter.
And I want to wrap up from saying, you know, talking about their discussion like this here. To people that are listening, please spread this message that, look, the audio that is released with the DJ Wu Not Whoever kid, that is not the actual transcript. Because a lot of folks are getting that mix up. They're saying, oh, Hogan, he was on a radio show. He was using the N-bomb with everybody else. He was just showing how people use it on him. No, that's the wrong interview. Because a lot of people, I don't know if you guys are aware of it, they're getting it mixed up. They're saying, oh, this is the one that's released. This is the shocking video. No, that is not the shocking audio. It's not been released yet. So for that little video clip of the DJ that's in Hulk Hogan, that's not the actual interview. That's not the exposed video.
I listened to that one, and that's definitely not the one the damning one that's coming out.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the thing that, you know, to bottom line it here with Hulk Hogan. The man, like you said, Ali, was damaged goods. The man, you know, can't cut a promo anymore. He can barely move. Let's just be honest with you. Hogan has seen better days. And, I mean, the guy went down there to TNA and really didn't help them, you know, do anything except run the company into the ground. I mean, the guy hasn't really done anything of relevance since he wrestled The Rock at WrestleMania 18, in my opinion, you know, and even then he could barely move. So, you know, Hogan has done a lot of foul shit over the years, and, you know, let's not even talk about just, you know, the real life stuff that he's been involved in. Let's talk about the politician that Hulk Hogan is in the wrestling business. How many guys that he held down over the years. I mean, I can't ever, unless somebody can correct me here between you two guys, I don't ever remember Hulk Hogan ever putting over Randy Savage clean.
No, there's a lot of guys he never put over clean, and he should have. I mean, Roddy Piper, he never put Piper over clean. I mean, remember, the original plan was for Piper to win the belt at the war to settle the score, and then Hogan wins it back at WrestleMania 1. That was the original plan. But Hogan was like, nah, brother, it's too soon for me to drop the belt. So Piper was the first one to stop being like, hey, if Hogan doesn't want to lose to me, that I'm not going to lose to him either. And that's why, if you look at a list of their matches, 90% of them end in either a double DQ or a double countout, or one of them being counted out disqualification. There was never a pinfall or submission between those guys in the 80s or the 90s.
Well, you know what? I don't know. Starrcade 96.
The WWE run.
Right. Well, yeah, WWE run, yeah. I mean, by the time they got into WCW, it was just long gone. It was a war that didn't settle the score. That's what they built that as. But you know what? Here's the thing with Hogan. And then, you know, I want to get you guys' comments, and then let's move on from the Hulkster. My thing is this. Hogan should be lucky that his fans are, you know, forgiving people to have even, you know, stood by this guy and brought him back after he said the bullshit that he said about the Graziano kid after that accident with his son, you know, after, you know, being, you know, and cheating on his wife, having affairs, whatever. You know, Hogan, you know, should be gracious to fans, not only, you know, black fans, white fans, just fans in general. And I think at some point, you know, Hogan just needs to come to reality and just be like, you know what, I made a mistake, and it is what it is. You know what I mean? But I think that Hogan eventually, I think he'll be back in WWE. I think right now it's just hot. I don't know what's going to be released next, but the National Enquirer says they got something coming up. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do. But the question I pose to you two is, can Hulk Hogan come back from this? I mean, Atlee, you first, and then on to Sean.
I mean, Hulk Hogan, if anybody can come back from this, it's probably Hulk Hogan, because that dude knows how to politic and weasel his way into situations better than anybody else. And he is a shrewd businessman. And I think that's the reason why there are a lot of celebrities that are kind of riding the bandwagon and not apologizing, but they're sticking up and defending Hulk Hogan publicly, because they realize that, hey, if Hulk survives this and he gets something going, you know, he's going to bring me in and give me a piece of this, and Hulk can remember who stuck up for me, you know, that I stuck up for him. But the kind of bottom line, this whole thing on my thoughts, you know, the reality of the situation is, I mean, when you talk about racism, you're talking about hate. And the fact that Hulk Hogan used these words, you know, means that he's racist. And there are millions of wrestling fans that woke up on Friday morning to discover that, you know, Hulk Hogan doesn't like them. You know, Hulk Hogan, you know, thinks less of, you know, black people because they don't match his complexion. And, you know, the way I look at it, Hogan's done with me. I'm done with him.
I put it like this. You talk about Hogan and this situation. I say damage control. How do you control? How you damage control? It's kind of hard, you know, being the demographic which he calls his in-ball, you know. But to damage control this one and put feelings aside, first off, him going to WWE, I highly doubt that. To wishful dreams, they can wish it all they want, but I highly doubt he's going back to WWE. Due to them sponsors, unless WWE is going to tough it out and say, you know what, F you sponsor, you know, they're not going to leave their sponsors, and Hulk is not going back to WWE. I don't see that happening. The only damage control I can see happening for Hulkster, you know, is the second best, is going to TNA and doing a public apology on a live episode. Dixie can hype it up however she want to hype it up, do a public apology, get called out by somebody like the Pope or somebody like that, and because you see Tigre Uno in that storyline, he's calling out Donald Trump. You know, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but he's calling out Donald Trump. I think Hogan needs to be invited to come there, and because you should let Hogan off easy. Why let him go soak and hide? No. Call him to the public. Bring him to the pit. Let him apologize. Make him break down. He needs to be punished. They're letting him off too clean. This is too easy. I mean, from, you know, being the black demographic that supported him, it looks like he's being sheltered right now. You know, of course, you got the scrutiny and the heat that's coming from the public, but he don't have to see. He can close his door and all that. You know, no, he needs to face the music. Like, this is how he views the black demographic. This is what he calls the black demographic, and it's been exposed. So being that public figure, I don't have any pity for him. I feel like he needs to be in national TV. And then, to make further example of Hulk Hogan, if you want to, heck, do a reality show of him going to counseling. You know, him going to rehab. I believe that should be it. I mean, of course, give him a reality show. I think it'll do well. But right now we have a racial situation going on in the world before this Hogan situation popped up. We have to examples should be set and made, not confusion. Because right now it's just confusion. If Hogan gets off scot-free and goes back to WWE, it's gonna enrage people. I think that's what the media wants. It'll enrage people. It'll keep people confused. It'll tell the youth that there is no hope. Oh, it's reckless. Live a reckless lifestyle. Don't care. You do something bad, don't worry. But you'll get rewarded later. It'll sweep over. Don't worry about it. You don't gotta apologize. You gotta make it up. You don't gotta go through nothing. It'll wash itself away. Because if you look at Hogan's problems in the past, they have just washed away. They have been paid off. And that's it. I think now he should be made an example of. He shouldn't be let off the hook so easy. That's what I have to say.
Well, I'll tell you what. I agree with you on that. I mean, my feeling is this. Hogan was a very big deal in a lot of people's childhoods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a big deal in my childhood as well. I mean, I can't stand the guy now. But, you know, I grew up on Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, Jake Roberts, Macho Man, Sergeant Slaughter, Texas Tornado. No, let's go. I can name them all day. But nobody had a bigger impact on, I would say, pop culture in America more than Hulk Hogan. And to find out that this guy, you know, can drop the N-bomb so, you know, just like it's nothing. You know, that's right there is really upsetting the people. And, you know, bottom line, you know, to finish it on Hulkster is that, you know what? Either way it goes, I ain't going to lose any sleep over it. That's him. Mm-hmm. That's what he has to deal with, and that's just what it is. I
mean, you have to mention that there are people that still passionately defend Chris Benoit, and that dude murdered his family. So I'm not surprised at all there are people still defending Hulk Hogan on this one.
Right.
But with Chris Benoit, is he still now, is he posted on WWE's site? Is he honored? No.
Oh, no, that definitely not, but that's the thing. I mean, there are people that I talk to that are shocked that there are fans out there publicly, you know, defending Hulk Hogan. I mean, a guy that I work with out in the independent scene here in New England, the way he sums it up is he says that, you know, separate, you know, the two entities, because Hulk Hogan, the character, you know, provided joy to millions and millions of people. The character is what you were paying to see. The character is what you were investing in. You weren't investing in Terry Bollea. Terry Bollea is a documented, you know, piece of trash human being, and now it's been proven with these comments.
Well, you know what? I can tell you this. The E! True Hollywood story they did on Hulk Hogan back in the day. Hulk Hogan said, and I quote, "The Hulk Hogan character On a scale of 1 to 10 is a 10. The man is about a 3. And he was referring to himself, Terry Bollea. Okay? So look at all the crap that people have said about this guy for many, many years. And I'll go even one better than that. Okay? And let's make it clear right now. I'm not trying to make this situation into like a race baiting type of situation where I'm just going to sit up here and just go like dog Hulk Hogan. We're not doing that. We are stating fact here. And here's the fact. Outside of Kamala or Zeus, okay, or maybe a Tony Abbott or somebody.
Oh, Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Karl Malone. How many black wrestlers did Hogan do serious programs with?
Oh, we got to take Dennis Rodman off and Karl Malone off. They wasn't serious.
Well, they weren't. That's exactly my point. And we can't. And I can't really say that the feud he had with Zeus was really a serious one.
Yeah, I was going to say take that off and take. I'd just say Kamala and The Rock, baby.
Yeah, well, you know what? But The Rock identifies more as Samoan.
No, they paint him out to be black. Everybody keeps. I can't get away from it.
No, that's the thing. It's like some people, like, you know, when it's convenient, people paint The Rock as black, and then when it's convenient in other aspects, they paint him as Samoan. But The Rock, with his heritage and things he says and the tattoos and everything, he tends to publicly identify more as Samoan. It's kind of like Barack Obama. Like, he's half black, half white, but because he identifies as a black person, that's why he is called the first black president.
With the Rock, it's always painted. The Rock is—he's all of a sudden he's black when they want him to be cool and funny. Because whenever you want something cool, like Fast and the Furious, you identify him as a black character. You know, when it comes to movies, you identify him as a cool black, you know, good-looking black guy. That's what he's—a strong, militant guy. That's what he's painted as. But when it's looked at as far as him as a fighter, as a warrior, he's looked at as Samoa all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, they definitely change the script whenever it's convenient for somebody. Absolutely.
So I am one. I am done talking about Hulkster. I want to go on to other things, because there is other things to talk about here on the Raw Deal today. We're going to be talking about Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker, the big pull-apart brawl that this past Monday night on Raw. We're going to talk about the Divas Revolution, talk about the return of the Wyatt family, and we got more to come here on the Raw Deal, so stay tuned. You know what, guys? This past Monday night on Raw, we saw the return of the Dead Man, the Undertaker. And him and Brock Lesnar, man, they went at it. Now, I tell you what, my problem is with this angle. It makes no damn sense. And I'm going to tell you why. Taker came back. Taker lost the match to Brock at WrestleMania 30. Okay? Now, he comes back a year later and wrestles Bray Wyatt and basically squashes. And then all of a sudden, now, what happened? Do you remember? Oh, shit, I got to go after Brock. You know what I'm saying? It makes no sense to me. So we're going to start with you first, Adley, and then we'll go to T-Shawn.
I think it was perfect. That pull-apart was one of the best segments Raw has ever done in a long, long time. I mean, there have just been a plethora of not just WWE World Champions, but title holders that once they lose the belt, the next night on Raw, they act as if it wasn't a big deal. And that infuriates me because as a competitor, you know, you want to be the champion. You should be mad if somebody else cost you the championship. And Brock was beyond upset that The Undertaker cost him the WWE World Heavyweight title. And that's how every wrestler should act, quite frankly. And even though I can see, Frankie, your point on, you know, Taker, you know, taking this long to kind of get in Brock Lesnar's face, I understand. I think Paul Heyman covered it up beautifully because he kept on harping on it over and over and over again. And then Taker took the microphone and said, "Look, you beat me. I understand that all streaks are meant to be broken. That's the reality. But you just wouldn't let it die. You kept talking about it week after week, month after month, and you got sick of it. He's like, you know what? I'm sick of it. Now I'm going to shut you up. And Brock's mad that, like, hey, you know, you cost me the belt." So I like how there's no distinction of good guy versus bad guy here. It's kind of a gray area. They both have a point of view. And it's up to the viewer to decide, you know, who they're going to cheer for. Because in my opinion, the fans are going to cheer Brock Lesnar 100% of the time, except when it comes to The Undertaker. Because if you see all the Paul Heyman promos, that guy could talk about paint drying on the wall and the fans just stand up and cheer him. But then once he starts talking about how Brock ended the streak, people start booing. And then once Paul Heyman stops talking about the streak, they start cheering again. Because even though they love Brock Lesnar, they love Paul Heyman, the fans still don't believe Brock was the guy, the right guy to end the streak. So I think they covered it up nicely with that, with Undertaker's excuse, and I definitely like where this is headed going into SummerSlam.
Taker's always taking long for everything. He take a year off to come back to the ring. He takes forever to get to the ring. He takes forever to talk. So, you know, I understand him taking he has a resume and a figure to uphold. He has to take long for everything, you know.
Now, his entrance is not as long as Randy Orton's.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. Who takes longer, The Undertaker's entrance in general or the Iron Sheik at WrestleMania 17?
Oh, man, I think Sheik is still walking to the damn ring.
Yes, yes.
I think he's still there walking down the aisle. Oh, that was funny shit, dude. You shouldn't have brought that one up. That was funny.
Yeah.
God, you know, God bless the Sheik.
Yeah, he takes long for everything. So, of course, getting him back around to the story, but it made sense as far as, you know, Undertaker being, you know, talking about, I'm tired of hearing about it. You're always talking about you rubbing it in. Okay, enough. I get that part, but. And I'm supportive of this rivalry, this feud, this match that's about to take place at SummerSlam. But I'm only supportive of it if it's leading somewhere positive for WrestleMania. And a lot of people want to see, and people still out there want to see, kind of, some people say it's ridiculous, but they still want to see Sting versus Undertaker. They still want to see some kind of, you know, the two icons and Phenom mix it up somehow. And I say this particular feud with Brock Lesnar only makes sense, and that Sting coming back in, allegedly supposedly partnering up with the Shield, with the Bray Wyatt situation, only makes sense to an extent if they're leading up to this. I would say maybe a tag team match, Undertaker and Sting. If Undertaker and Sting are to be mixing and mingling up at WrestleMania, there's gonna need to be some type of Bray Wyatt interference. I mean, it needs to be Undertaker Sting partnering up or something like that. It should have been at the SummerSlam. It should have been, you know, Undertaker feuding back again with the Wyatt or something like that, and then having Sting come out and help and assist, and then, you know, make heads towards a WrestleMania situation. But the storyline is only making sense to me only if they're gonna, you know, he's gonna finalize this feud with Brock Lesnar. You know, he goes over and beats Brock Lesnar at this one. Sting eventually helps the Shield beat the Wyatt. And then we, you know, they take them a nice little break and go on, you know, and wait till WrestleMania or whatever. I'm pretty sure Sting is going to be involved into another story angle, but, you know, Undertaker goes on about his merry way or something like that. And then we have another situation of where, you know, Sting is involved with the Wyatt family. They're attacking him again, and maybe Undertaker comes out and help. And then you have a pay-per-view going on where it's Sting, Undertaker versus the Wyatt at Royal Rumble. And, you know, there you have it when Sting and Undertaker beat the Wyatts. There you have it. They point out the, you know, the little sign, the WrestleMania sign, and everybody knows what's going on then. That's where it only makes sense to me. But if this is not going to happen, if none of that's in the plan, Undertaker, you know, going against the Brock Lesnar, I don't really see, it doesn't benefit each one of them. It doesn't, I guess it's only for the fans, because it doesn't help out the Undertaker character. It doesn't help out Brock Lesnar character. Right now, Brock Lesnar's on the roll. He was, you know, him, he's an unstoppable beast. I don't really see, you know, him going against Undertaker, how that helps out. But I'm unsupportive of it if it's leading somewhere. But WWE has a bad habit of dropping storylines and making stuff mean nothing. Especially, look what we got, the Seth Rollins and John Cena situation now. So none of it, you know, they just have a bad habit of just dropping stuff and going left field.
Well, you know what? The thing about it is that they want to make SummerSlam this year, like, really the biggest, you know, party of the summer. SummerSlam is actually going to be 4 hours this year. So that's incredible that they're going to do that. And I, you know, agree with you guys to a certain extent as far as Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker is going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big match. I did like the brawl. I like the pull apart.
I got to add in that Atlee said something about the brawl. My only problem with the brawl, I had a comment on that, is okay. The situation is that I'm all for, you know, you're breaking them up, holding them back. But when you get over 200 plus pound guys holding these two men back, please don't let them break through them. And realistically, if you thought about it, you know, if you were not thinking of it in a fantasy way, but in a realistic way, they made the whole roster look very, very weak. I mean, you mean they couldn't hold Brock Lesnar back? You Big Show's and this big guy and this big guy, they're holding Brock Lesnar back. Jack Swagger, and he still broke through continuously. And the security and all that. I never understood that when WWE does that, when they break them up and all of a sudden they continue to jump over. You know, they got to jump over this person, and they're constantly breaking through the crowd. Like, no, not the wrestlers, not the roster. Don't make the roster look weak, because the whole WWE roster looks very weak right now. You got Mark Henry and everybody holding these guys back, and they still can't hold them back.
Well, you know how the roster, they were made to look weak. I'm going to tell you right quick, and then you can go. I'm going to tell you how they were made to look weak. They're made to look weak when Triple H was cutting that promo back there on the entire locker room talking about they need to keep these guys apart. Basically, what Triple H is saying is that this entire roster doesn't mean shit to what Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker means. Mm. So that right there makes your roster look weak. That has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, I get what your point is, but it has nothing to do with the fact that they, you know, couldn't hold these guys back. It has to be the fact that doesn't matter if Kevin Owens is sitting right there or, you know, a Jack Swagger or Mark Henry or whoever.
Oh, okay.
You all are on the same level. You're not on the level of Undertaker or Brock Lesnar, so your job tonight is to keep these guys apart.
That
you know what I'm saying? That's how I took that.
That was so disrespectful for them to do it like that. I mean, because, yeah, seeing Kevin Owens out there, you know, I'm glad the Wyatt family wasn't out there. I'm glad they were there, because they would have really broke character. I mean, you have to save these characters some face. And
right.
Kevin Owens is not supposed to care about nothing. Why is he caring about Undertaker and Brock Lesnar? He doesn't even care to get in the ring and defend his title or take a title. So why would he care to get in the ring and save somebody from getting their ass kicked? You know, I don't understand. I mean, it's just, I understand some certain people breaking character, you know, but when you get some of the most high-profile characters in there breaking up, Orton wasn't out there, was he? I hope not.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because I want to see.
But Sheamus was out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said that specifically because I was like, I hope Orton and Sheamus wouldn't have to try to break two guys up and together. Like, hold up, aren't you guys feuding? That's one thing I don't like seeing is people that are feuding with deep feuds. Stardust wasn't out there, was he? I'm about to go back. I hope he wouldn't. I don't know
if he was not. I know that I know Rusev was out there.
But stop forgetting your storylines. Rusev should not care at all. He's not from America. He shouldn't care about 40 Renekins and da-da-da. Like, they don't care about that. He should not care. So,
Well, he's back. You know, he's Bulgarian again, so, you know.
Okay.
He's not Russian anymore. Speaking of Adley, you had a thought here on this what we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact of the matter is Triple H. You said what I was going to say, Frank. Triple H jobbed out the entire roster by gathering them all and saying, "Hey, look, this match is more important than each and every one of you. If you don't break it up, you're all fired." Basically, what he should have done if he wanted to keep his roster strong was that he should have been telling that to the security guard. That's how they should have booked it. He was telling the security, look, if you fail to break this up, then it's on you and you're fired. And then security goes break it up, Taker and Brock get through them, and then a panicked Triple H, you know, runs back and just yells to the locker room, everybody out now, and then the locker room runs out to break it up. And that would have kept them strong, because it would have been like, damn, you know, look, like, this brawl is so bad. It's so intense that you need the wrestlers to break this up. Security can't even break it up. But no, you have, you know, Triple H neutering all the wrestlers, you know, right before it ends. So that way it looks as if, you know, they're jabronis just like the security guards.
Well, you know what doesn't make sense is, my God, what the hell are they doing here with Lana and Summer Rae?
The Ziggler situation is happening, so they're trying to salvage whatever they can. They really was looking to push Lana, you know, to establish her and then hold her the light, but now the Ziggler situation is going on, and it's like, what do we do with the storyline? And I'm surprised WWE hasn't dropped the storyline already. Usually they always forget stuff. They're very forgetful. We know that. WWE's good at forgetting the storyline and have it going all of a sudden. You're like, what happened to that? I thought Bray Wyatt had interfered and had dumped Ambrose on his head, and what happened out of that? I thought they were, What happened here? I thought Bray Wyatt was after Ryback. They're good at dropping storylines. Just forgetting it. Oh, it never happened. So
when you talk about damaged goods, I mean, there ain't nobody more damaged on that roster than I would say it's two people there, Ryback and Bray Wyatt. I mean, and you know what's funny? You know what the two things these two guys have in common? They are damaged goods after working with John Cena.
The Nexus.
Hey, the Nexus. The Wyatt family broke up for whatever reason. Nobody knows. The Wyatt family going to be heading into SummerSlam in a rumored six-man tag match against Shield 2.0 of Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, and the possibility of their mystery partner being Sting. Want to get you guys' thoughts on that. Start with you first, Mr. Green.
I think the whole Sting thing is very interesting because I think Sting and the Shield working together against the Wyatt family is going to create an interesting dynamic for SummerSlam. Now, my initial thought was that they're putting Sting in this situation for a reason because they want to give him a win heading into next year's WrestleMania, so he goes against The Undertaker. However, the booking of Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar 2 at SummerSlam is very intriguing because, in my opinion, if Undertaker gets the win here at SummerSlam, that means they both have one match apiece, and the rubber match is going to be at WrestleMania, which means we'll probably never see the dream match, Sting versus Taker, one-on-one. Now, to add on to that, I want to throw this to both of you guys. If this is the direction they're heading in, and the idea is to Taker get his win back so that way they can do the rubber match at WrestleMania, is Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker 3 as the main event at WrestleMania, is that a big enough match to break the all-time attendance record?
Hell no.
No. Honestly, I think all of our dreams are going to come true this upcoming WrestleMania. Why I say that is because I'm going to try to post a little bet on it. Like I said, Royal Rumble is going to have your thing, ends this feud with the Wyatt family with the help of Undertaker. They're going to post that ideal match for WrestleMania. What's going to happen at WrestleMania is going to be Shield versus the Wyatt family, Shield entirely. Seth Rollins is going to be face. He's going to turn face, and it's going to be Shield versus the Wyatt family, because you got to look at it. Obviously, Cena's not going to carry that world title because I'm pretty sure Sheamus is going to interfere and he's going to get the belt, and you know you're going to have a situation where Triple H may kick him off, you know, kick a little self to the side, some situation go on with that, but you're going to have a face turn. So if you want to, you know, you want to bring that much interest towards WrestleMania because they're looking to break the attendance record. So you got to give the fans everything they want. So, Shield versus Wyatt family, the original Shield versus the original Wyatt family, that right there, that's money. I mean, it's always been money. These guys, when they go at it, because I've never seen such a great trio of a team put on such an epic match. These guys, whenever they battle, look at the past videos. When they battle, it's epic. I mean, they go at it, especially Luke Harper. And let me digress. But yes, they put on an epic match. So I see this WrestleMania is going to be must-see. So they're going to put together every fantasy match. So you're going to have your Sting versus Undertaker. The Undertaker versus Brock is not going to go past. If it's the third match, it's not going to happen at WrestleMania. I can guarantee you that. I don't think WWE is that.
I mean, the way I look at this whole entire thing is, T-Shawn, I hope you're right. I hope that we get the Sting Undertaker match, and I'll have my fingers crossed from now to WrestleMania, hoping that's the case. But Vince McMahon, one of the things Vince McMahon hates doing is he hates putting matches out there simply because the fans want to see them. He doesn't put matches out there unless he can build a story around them. It's like, well, you're the great Vince McMahon. You have 20 writers. Think of a story. I mean, and so what if you can't think of a story? Taker versus Sting writes itself.
Well, this is a match, obviously, that you know, they've gone on record saying that Vince McMahon doesn't want to do that match. Okay, because Vince McMahon knows what we want better than we do. But
is it a work, though? Is it a work? Do you think Vince is just saying that as a work to work the fans in a frenzy?
He could be saying it's a work. I mean, here's the thing. You know, these two guys here, Taker and both Sting, are at, you know, they're on their last run, okay? So why not let them just go out there and do, you know, the rumor, what a lot of people have said, the retirement match. Have these two guys go to WrestleMania next year and wrestle. You got, you know, possibility of Triple H versus The Rock next year at Mania. But it doesn't matter what they put, in my opinion, in my view, it doesn't matter what they put out there next year. They are not going to break the attendance record. It's not going to go past, in my opinion, probably 70,000 people.
I mean, the way
they have nothing.
The way I look at it, I mean, we're in a day and age where simply one match isn't going to do it. They're going to need three or four big time matches with a big time story in order to make this thing happen. Now, I want to ask you, gentlemen, to kind of look at your crystal ball for a second, because right around this time every year is when the various websites like Gurek.net, we kind of find out, you know, who is pegged to be in the WrestleMania main event. Around this time last year, the rumors came out. Roman Reigns is the guy being pegged to be the main event at WrestleMania, the last match on the card for the title. Based on what WWE is seeing on WWE television right now, if it was up to you, who's in the main event at WrestleMania next year?
Well, you know what? There's only one guy that I think comes to mind. Maybe doing a Mania match next year if he can hold on the strap that long. And this is just me saying this, and it goes back, you know, to what I just saw the other day. A picture says 1,000 words. And I think that for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, I think that a match between Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens would be damn good for WrestleMania. In which Owens wins the belt. In which Sheamus cashes in Money in the Bank and becomes the new world champion. That's what I think.
I highly doubt that. Unless the match between John Cena and Seth Rollins ends in a disqualification at SummerSlam, and that'd just be it. But honestly, if I was to say, because it's so many headliner matches, because you got to look at they're gonna line this up. It's gonna be decked up. So to have a main event, I don't think a main event is just gonna be, you know, is the ideal main event that we're gonna think it is. It's gonna be that sleeper match that you're like, okay, but it has to be two talented people, two very skilled people, like what you're talking about, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. I don't really see them being the main event match.
You can have several main events, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be stacked. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I can clearly see it. The Wyatt family is going to reunite. I'm sorry to say it. They're going to reunite in full because they're going to push that Seth Rollins face turn. He's going to turn face because I believe Sheamus is going to be the new champion, you know, with the authority. I truly see it. Sheamus is going to have that title, and it's going to be somebody to take on. Somebody has to go against Sheamus. So, but I'm looking at if Dolph is coming back, I'm looking at Dolph taking on Sheamus, because you got to look at Dolph and Sheamus have that feud. So I see Dolph Ziggler being the one taking him, because remember Dolph wanted some progress with his character. You know, if he don't get the progress, he wants to leave. He desires to leave. So I can see Dolph Ziggler going up against Sheamus for the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania, giving the people finally what they want. I mean, they have to give people everything. They're going to try to break this attendance record. They're going to make sure they're going to sweeten it up. So we got to look at
Let me get in there quickly, Frank D.
Yeah.
My thought on what the main event could be or going to be or what have you. There is a particular match that WWE can easily make whatever they want, but they have not made this particular match as of yet. And I'm sure they've been tempted to make it, and for a lot of reasons, they have not made it. You can tell they are waiting for the perfect moment for this particular match to be made. And I'm talking about triple threat match, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, The Shield,
right,
in the main event with Rollins walking in as champion with a year-long reign. I really think that, you know, if you put those three in the main event match, or at least the world title match at WrestleMania, that will do a very good job in drawing in fans, because you haven't seen it. You've seen them in different tag team matches, elimination matches, but the three of them in the ring, every man for himself, that would be an intriguing contest. And because they haven't done the match yet or even hinted of doing the match yet, I guarantee you it will shock a lot of fans when they make it. It's like, oh my God, I never thought of this matchup.
Well, you know what? Another match that comes to mind when we're talking about, you know, WrestleMania, and this is a match that I've always wanted to see. It happened only one time on WWE television way back. And I'm talking about a match that I think would be pretty good. I think that, you know, it would be exciting for the fans. And I'm talking about Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton. That right there are Brock Lesnar versus Batista. They got to come back. They got to come with the heavy guns for if they want to do something here for this WrestleMania. So those matches there make sense to me. Also, we got to think about the NXT town. We got to think about the Finn Balors. We got to think about the Samoa Joes. We got to think about the Sami Zayns and the Hideo Itamis. Where do they fit into WrestleMania 32?
And you're right. Batista has said he does want to fight Brock Lesnar. He does want one of his matches to begin because they've never crossed up unless they was an OVW, you know, Ohio Valley. But they've never crossed it up, mixed it up in WWE ever. You know, and it's kind of crazy. These guys never crossed paths and done anything and mixed it up. You know, but I hope we don't get no Stone Cold versus Brock Lesnar. I don't want to
see that. No, I don't want to see that either. And I don't want to see it simply because this guy here, Brock Lesnar, is very vicious with the suplexes.
But, okay,
so I don't want to see Steve Austin out there. You know, Steve Austin says right now he's pain-free. So I don't want to see a guy go out there and really get messed up.
Well, I say that. I ask that question. If we're on Steve Austin, if he is to come back, because, you know, WWE, they have that magic. If he is to come back at WrestleMania, because people are asking for it. If he was to come back at WrestleMania, who would you put Steve Austin in a match with?
John Cena.
I echo that sentiment because if this WrestleMania is taking place in Dallas, Texas, the home state of Steve Austin, and they're going to try to break the attendance record, if Steve Austin doesn't come back for this WrestleMania, he never should come back because this is the time. And you have John Cena has a safe wrestling style that a lot of wrestling fans crap on him for, but at the same time, I think that style is perfect when it comes to making sure you can get Steve Austin through a match where he's not going to injure his neck.
Okay, so do you have John, if you're booking this, do you have John Cena go over clean, or do you have Stone Cold beating him clean?
It's interesting because
has to be a finish now.
No, I'll get to a finish, but it's interesting because remember Rock versus Cena won. I had a feeling that Rock was going over. They do the rematch next year. Mm-hmm. All my friends in the room were telling me, "You're crazy. There's no way they're putting John Cena over. John Cena's going to lose to The Rock." I was like, "Trust me, he's going to." And sure enough, he did it. The difference is, though, you're not going to get a second match out of Steve Austin. And that Texas crowd completely dogged and crapped on the finish at WrestleMania 17 when Steve Austin turned heel, and those fans in attendance, they're paying to see Steve Austin win. So Steve Austin should win that match because John Cena is no longer, like, really the main event guy. He's, like, the second. He's, like, the B-star, if you will. He's not, like, the guy they push at the top of the card. He's the guy they push as the co-main event, if you will, because they realize he's been on top for 10 years. You know, he's kind of winding down. He's getting beat up. He's, you know, his body's hurting and whatnot. So I think if this match happened 5 years ago, John Cena goes over. But I think with everything going on right now in 2015, 2016, I think Steve Austin wins that match.
Frank D?
I think it's basically, you know, redemption for Steve Austin. And it's just mentioned right there what you said there, Abby, going all the way back to WrestleMania 17, how the Texas crowd completely shit all over that finish. So if Austin was to come back now, I think he redeems himself. And another thing that I want to say here that makes me, you know, really, you know, like the prospect of a possible Stone Cold Steve Austin versus John Cena match is that that John Cena has been using that springboard stunner.
He did it.
That right there is where that can co-mingle. You have pretty much the PG era versus Attitude era, and you have Stone Cold Steve Austin going over in that match. I think that's how you end Stone Cold Steve Austin on a good note. That's how you send the crowd away happy. Just the mere fact of Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out of retirement, one more match against this guy, John Cena, that would be a big deal. But I gotta disagree with you, Adley. On, you know, you say that John Cena's kind of like a B star now. He's kind of like the cold main event. I think John Cena is still the man in WWE, period. You know, the WWE championship right now to me doesn't mean jack shit compared to the U.S. title. And a couple months ago, I wouldn't have even said that. But I know that belt that John Cena carries means a hell of a lot more than what Seth Rollins has.
Oh, let me clarify. I agree with you 100%, Frankie. As far as, you know, a merchandise perspective and a company portfolio, John Cena is the star, is the face of the company, no doubt about that. But as far as what you see on television, like the show they're putting together, they're kind of slowly putting John Cena into the background. It's not working very well, but they are making an attempt at least to put John Cena in that co-main event role. But as you said, he is outshining a lot of people. He in the U.S. title right now is getting more looks than the world title.
Well,
and also, real quick, another matchup that could possibly be at WrestleMania next year. I don't know, if it would be in the plans or not. But also, you could take the dynamic of Cesaro and put Cesaro up against a Brock Lesnar as well.
Yeah, I was going to throw in there as well is that you also got to look, I guess you can look at the angle of this here. If we're going to have John Cena versus Stone Cold and you want to make one heck of an impact, you want to blow the roof off the building to the point where fans will be talking about this forever and forever, ever. In an alternate universe, this is the perfect, because it's always different times, but usually it's not a perfect time to do it because they always tend to spoil these moments. But Stone Cold loses to a John Cena heel turn. That'll probably be one of the most epic heel turns in a long time.
You know, it's funny you say that because if like they just have a straight out match and Stone Cold wins, there's always going to be some people saying that how come the legend's beating the guy that's always there, which I don't really agree with that argument. But if you had John Cena beat Steve Austin clean, there's going to be a riot in that building. But if John Cena turns heel while beating Stone Cold Steve Austin, that is going to be a moment that everybody remembers. And I think there'll be some forgiveness, you know, for Steve Austin losing.
But will Stone Cold, I mean, will the fans be happy? Or will they actually give it heat? Or will they actually be kind of happy that finally John Cena's turned heel? That's kind of
I think you're going to mix them both.
Yeah, it's going to be like, whoa. I mean, it's going to be a shocker.
I think it's a mixture of just people booing, people cheering, and then people not knowing what to think of it.
Well, you know what? I think that heel turn with just how many years that John Cena has put into the game and how long John Cena's been a babyface.
He's always been treated like a heel. He's been treated like a heel for the long. I mean, I've never seen a ever. John Cena's a once in a lifetime superstar. You've never really seen somebody of his magnitude get booed, slightly cheered. But booed, we've never seen it.
I gotta disagree with you on that one. Ooh. We did see that. We saw that with Hulk Hogan in WCW.
Different, way different. Now Hogan was actually heel.
No. Hogan wasn't heel. When Hogan went over there in '94, Hogan was not heel. Hogan was still doing Hulkamania as a babyface. He was getting booed out there in front of those live crowds.
Look at who he was going up against, though.
Well, but I think even still, I mean, go back. I can go even further back with that. Let's go back to the 1992 Royal Rumble when Sid Justice threw him out, and the Knickerbocker Arena, the crowd went crazy. They cheered Sid Justice throwing Hogan out the ring. So I think Hulkamania was done.
And I have to put this disclaimer in, Frankie. If you watch the version of the Royal Rumble 1992 on the network, it's the Coliseum home video version, and actually they dubbed over the audio. So when Sid eliminates Hogan, they actually boo him. But if you watch the actual pay-per-view broadcast of it on YouTube, you'll see that they actually popped, you know, like Elvis.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they did. They popped big for that.
Yeah.
So that's my point is. I think Hulkamania was there, but I think what I'm getting at here is.
I'm sorry. I'm about to say, was it consistent though? See, that's the thing though.
Was the booing consistent with Hogan?
Yeah, with Hogan it wasn't.
Oh, you know, if you go back looking at Hogan's run in '92. You know, even before that, people liked him, but the people were tired of Hulkamania. It was done. But as far as the booing consistently, I think it just goes down like this. John Cena stands for everything that male demographic don't stand for. And he knows it every time he comes out there and he has those towels that say never give up. He knows it. People are singing John Cena sucks. That's one thing that I've never seen. So I agree with you on that. I've never heard an audience sing a guy's song and talk about how he sucks outside of Kurt Angle.
Yeah, but Kurt Angle was heel.
I just had an epiphany about this whole John Cena heel turn thing. I mean, I know we spent a lot of time on it, but what if you get the match, Steve Austin, John Cena, WrestleMania, Houston, Texas, and they do it the same way as WrestleMania 17. Vince McMahon comes down to the ring. You have no idea why he's there. And all of a sudden, John Cena just bludgeons Steve Austin with chair shot after chair shot after chair shot, just like Steve Austin did with The Rock at WrestleMania 17, and finally Cena pins Austin, and then he embraces Vince McMahon, just like Austin pinned The Rock and embraced Vince McMahon. The next day on Raw, they cut the money promo talking about, John Cena is the guy that truly represents me, not Steve Austin, not Hulk Hogan, not The Rock, John Cena, just to kind of throw some salt in the wound.
I think I like the idea, except I would replace Vince with Triple H.
That, yes, yes, good call. Good call.
That would replace, and I would say if John Cena come out there and say, yeah, I'm now the face, you know, I'm the franchise here, I'm the authority. It's pretty much, you know, and that's what it would be. You know, that's the only way you can keep this stupid authority angle going would be if a John Cena heel turn would happen. But, you know, like you say, when we started this conversation today, T-Shawn, it all goes back to the sponsors.
Yeah, but that's one thing about it. If we get this situation, because these sponsors look like they're getting very weird. It looks like they're going to lose at least about a good three or two sponsors on this one. You know,
yeah.
I see those sponsors leaving. W just lost, what, $50 million? You know,
right.
So that's a cut off them sponsors, and so the fans, what that means for the fans for us is that we could possibly see this John Cena heel turn, because now they have to pull out some more stuff. They have to be more entertaining, and that brings them back up to par. You know,
I mean, the bottom line for all of this to work, I mean, WWE would have to actually send out some feelers to their sponsors, because they would have to talk to at least Make-A-Wish and Mattel and just say, look, we want to turn John Cena into a bad guy. What do you think? And if the temperature in the room during that conversation is not in WWE's favor, they're not turning John Cena heel at all. But the way to circumvent that is to have somebody else ready. Like, by the time you turn John Cena heel, you need a star that can pick up where John Cena left off.
And that's where you have the rebuilding of either Roman Reigns, or you go full with Seth Rollins or Finn Balor.
And that's the confusing thing, though, is that John Cena's already treated like a heel. You know, and people, when you actually think about it, stop and say, hold up, well, yeah, he is. He's actually treated like a heel already. You know, consistently, you're going to hear some John Cena sucks consistently. I mean, that's a nightly base.
Yeah, but are people doing it? But in saying that, are people doing this as basically, you know, heel heat? Are they just doing it because they see people do it the last week on television?
They're doing it because they really don't like it. I mean, because when they start, when you look at your comment on these videos, when you look at your tweets, they're not good. They're not of somebody that was just doing it just because somebody next to them was doing it. But they're going in depth on their comments. They're talking about, I'm tired of this sometimes. You see all the internet nerds and the internet infantry going berserk on these comments about John Cena. And a lot of them, they're putting up a lot of facts, because you look at John Cena's character, his character is very, very wishy-washy. He says he's all about the company, he's all about the people. But yet, what the people want, you don't give people what they want. Every night you show something different down their throat that they don't want. You say, I listen to the people and I'm all about the fans. But then again, you don't do nothing that the fans ask you to do. You're not entertaining. I'm all about entertainment, but you don't entertain them. So that's kind of, you keep shoving this image that you want down their throat. So his character is actually more healed than what people are. He's already healed, but we just ain't realized it yet.
Well, I can't wait for the day that John Cena turns heel. But I think that, you know, it's pretty much a pipe dream at this point.
Yeah.
And it's just like Undertaker versus Sting will probably never happen.
Alternate universe.
We're gonna continue with this bullshit authority storyline, and we're gonna continue with you know, more Big Show heel face turns, and we're gonna continue with. We're gonna continue with probably, you know, when Kane comes back, he'll still have that, you know, he won't be wearing a mask and all that. You know, we're gonna continue with Stephanie McMahon, you know, coming out there and talking shit, which is where we're gonna go into right now, the Divas Revolution that's going on right now in WWE. We got Sasha Banks, we got Becky Lynch, we got Charlotte on the main roster now. Out of all of them, Sasha Banks is my favorite, and she's probably the best, you know, one of the best workers they have in the company. I want to get your thoughts right quick on this, Adley. The Divas Revolution in WWE.
I certainly like the sentiment, because, I mean, more and more in professional athletics, women are starting to make a stand as far as, hey, saying, hey, we could be just as entertaining, if not, you know, more popular, you know, or better than the men. And you've seen that in NXT, where, you know, for my money, Becky Lynch and Charlotte, that's definitely, you got to nominate that for match of the year, you know, without a question. But WWE has done some good things, in my opinion, some bad things with this. I think when they brought them out initially on Raw, you made a strong statement. I like how it ended with all three of them, Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha, they all had their submission holds, you know, locked in on the Bellas and, Alicia Fox. So I thought that was a strong statement saying, wow, these girls aren't messing around. We're coming here to play. But then there are some things I don't like. For example, at Battleground, they had Becky Lynch cut a promo, you know, with Paige and with Charlotte when they were talking about who's going to wrestle in the three-way match. And Becky was like, oh, I just can't wait to prove that the divas are just as good as the superstars. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why do you have to use these BS buzzwords, divas, superstars? Like, okay, so the women are divas and the men are superstars. Okay, but shouldn't they be superstars too? Like, how can you come up with diva superstars? I mean, just say it. Like, what's wrong with saying the word men? I don't understand this.
Isn't the terminology, though, I mean, when we think about it real quick, and then I'll get to you, T-Shawn, do you guys think that the terms diva and superstars is a little outdated?
I think it's very outdated. I understand why WWE does it, because they're always used to using these big, flashy terms that are just using plain, you know, just the regular verbiage, like men, women, you know, and stuff like that. So I get it. But when they take it to such an extreme where they won't call the male wrestlers men, the woman wrestlers women, they'll have to call them divas or superstars, I think it just sounds a little forced and it sounds fake. You're not going to get people behind it. I mean, think about it. Vince McMahon has been trying to get the phrase sports entertainment over for over 20 years now, and nobody is biting. Nobody refers to professional wrestling as sports entertainment unless you are being paid and forced to say it by Vince McMahon. No one is ever going to look at professional wrestling as sports entertainment. So I think the term diva and superstar are outdated. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I think only referring to these particular populace as such is just stupid.
I guess I'm coming at it from a different angle. It's a lot of damage control. I mentioned earlier behind the scenes is that you got Stephanie McMahon is coming out there like she's, you know, like she's Stone Cold Steve Austin, all in their grill and constantly grilling the divas. When she, and let's think about it now. This is not the first time Stephanie has done that. She does this periodically almost every year around the same time. She goes out there, she basically craps on one of the divas, and is always usually the champion. Look at what she did to AJ Lee. I think it was that last year or year before. She crapped on her in front of everybody else. And she constantly, you know, beats down on the Divas division as though, like, she's the toughest woman wrestler there. She acts like she's Beth Phoenix. I remember when Beth Phoenix was champion. Stephanie did the same thing. I was like, well, what's the point of having a dominant Divas champion when you have somebody who's supposed to be this figure that basically punks them out every time? Like, that's not making any sense. And it makes the champion look way bad. Look at the Bellas. When Stephanie came out there and just, I mean, honestly, I didn't see that. That Divas belt that just melted right then and there. I didn't even see it. I didn't understand why she was holding the belt. Because, I mean, you see Stephanie McMahon just beating him down. And that's going on. And she's going at him. And I'm like, okay, are these Divas or are these her maids or something? Because Stephanie acts like it's just her division and what she say goes. And she'll beat down anybody that opposes her. Stephanie needs to be, Stephanie needs to have that belt. She needs to be the Divas champion if that's the case. Because right now, the most intimidating alleged diva on the roster is Stephanie McMahon. The most toughest feared diva is Stephanie. Why is the belt on the Bellas? Because Stephanie is the one that needs to be beat. If they were doing what was good for business, Stephanie would play a role as her father did. If she's going to be that, because when Vince McMahon did it, he eventually got that belt and he worked himself into the storyline. So if Stephanie want to continue to be this mean bully of the Divas division and try to uplift the Divas division, she needs to involve herself into the storylines and get some female wrestlers over. That should be an NXT Divas champion. Charlotte should be fighting Stephanie McMahon. That should be a feud going on right now. Ric Flair's daughter versus Vince McMahon's daughter. You know, that's bloodline right there. I mean, that needs to be talking about Ronda Rousey. That needs to be the WrestleMania match for the women, is a fight against the Authority. You know, they're not looking at the storylines because they're beating down the Divas division. It looks terrible. You know, I don't really see the benefit of what's going on. You know, of course you got the gimmicks that are all out of whack. You got they put the loud black girls together. You know, that's every character that they ever had with black women, as we spoke about previously. Every black girl has the ghetto, you know, loudmouth girl, and she's always got to be flashy when she turns heel. So every heel black character has to be that. And I've never understood that, because every time I see Alicia Fox turn heel, when she turns heel, she turns loud, black, and ghetto, and she's twisting and turning and throwing stuff, and she's catching attitudes. Layla, when she turns loud and black, British ghetto, she does the same thing. And ironically, Naomi, that we've never seen turn heel, when she turns heel, she turns loud, black, and ghetto. Loud colors, and she's all, look at her, you see a persona now. Like, I'm like, look, we have to update, like, the heels. I mean, you do not have to be a loud, black, ghetto heel. They can be a sadistic, they can be a hardcore heel, they can be something else besides the loud, black, ghetto heels that they give these other, the black superstars, the black divas, because it's getting played out. I mean, Cameron, as soon as she turned heel, she was loud, black, and ghetto, and she's the boss. Every chick, every black chick is the boss chick. I'm not understanding it. I'm not getting that portion of it. You know, it's a lot they have to do with the divas, because it's constantly getting buried. It's still buried. They haven't uplifted yet. I mean, just because they did a couple of cute spots and submissions, that doesn't help out the division. Because in a minute, you're going to have Stephanie come out there, she's going to punk out everybody once again. It's going to be the same scenario.
Well, you know, my thing is this, is that, you know, one of the things that I didn't like was when Stephanie McMahon was introducing these divas, you know, one by one. I didn't care for that at all. I think if you really wanted to make a statement, really wanted to make an impact with that, then you should have brought these divas in individually, okay? And you talk about storylines and WWE not keeping up with their own storylines. What the hell happened here with the Bellas? I mean, the Bellas angle was screwed since SummerSlam when, you know, Nikki turned on Brie. They were feuding, and all of a sudden, you know, Brie's back with her sister. You know, everything's fine and dandy, and, you know, I don't get that.
They continue to drop storylines. That's what I said. They continue to drop storylines, and all of a sudden forget whatever happened then. Oh, forget it. Just drop the storyline. Let's go with something else. You know, and of course, she should not have called them out each by one. These are divas. These are not sisters. This is not the sister division. This is the divas division. If people know what the definition of a diva is, a diva is basically, she's devilish, and she does what she wants to do, how she wants to do it. She calls the shots. She's not friendly with nobody. She's a diva. So why are the divas, and for God's sake, they don't even have a tag team Divas title. Why is it always tag teams? Team. If they're about to introduce a Divas tag team title, I understand it. Okay, all these teams make sense. But why in the heck do we have a bunch of tag teams of Divas, and there's no tag team titles? Why are they calling it Buddy Buddy? Clearly, you see that Naomi's character and Charlotte's character is really not gelling, because she's boss chick. This oh. We beautiful bag, okay, but you, and she always says, I'm the best, I'm the baddest. But then again, Naomi said the same thing, so clearly they're not going to gel together. They're going to eventually end up fighting each other. It's not going to, I don't see them becoming a successful tag team or just a stable. I mean, it's not making any sense. If you have these girls who call them divas, it's all out for one, and there's only one title. Except, with, you know, if you add in the fact that the NXT Divas Championship, but on the main show roster, SmackDown Raw, there's only one Divas title, but you have this whole roster of women fighting, or I'm sorry, Divas fighting for one belt, but then again, they act like they're all in stables and tag teams. Help me out, guys. What do you guys think about this?
No, I think you guys pointed to what's kind of been wrong with this. As good as it is to see WWE pushing women's wrestling, I think you guys pointed out some very good topics about why they kind of stumbled out of the gate. Because you think about it, with Stephanie McMahon, she's a heel. The fans have been conditioned to hate her, so it's very confusing when Stephanie McMahon, of all people, is the one coming out initiating this Divas Revolution. Because instead of cheering the thing right away, I mean, us hardcore fans, diehard guys on the IWC, we know, okay, yes, that means they're bringing in the NXT girls. That's awesome. But the casual fan who doesn't read, you know, Gerwick.net and other sites or listen to, like, these the podcasts, they don't trust Stephanie McMahon. They're like, okay, why is Stephanie McMahon, who's constantly been a villain, now ushering this change for good? So it was kind of a bad deal from the get-go. And plus, the reason why the Bellas, no one would go against the Bellas, is because Nikki always referenced the fact that she's friends with Stephanie McMahon, and that's why all the divas backed up saying, yeah, you're right, we ain't messing with her because you got Stephanie in your back pocket. So it's kind of like, what happened to that storyline? And they should have found somebody else to introduce this. Maybe they brought Linda back. Maybe they bring somebody that the fans love. I mean, they should. That was why they stumbled the first time. Stephanie McMahon, because now she's cool as can be when it comes to divas, but then an hour later, she's back to being a villainous heel when she's trying to help Seth Rollins somehow keep his title. So it's like, make up your mind.
And speaking of making up minds here, as we move on here from the Divas Revolution on to Destination America. Destination America made the call to remove the Ring of Honor 8 p.m. broadcast and put Ring of Honor on at 11 p.m. on Destination America. TNA Impact will stay intact at least until September. We still don't know. TNA representatives Dixie Carter and company have not come out and said that, you know, they're staying on the network. They haven't said nothing. They have not come out and said the report that Dave Meltzer put out was wrong. So the question is to you guys, what do you think about Ring of Honor, you know, them dropping them from 8, moving them to 11? What do you think? I mean, what do you think is going on here? Abby, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Tishon.
The way I look at this thing, this could be either good or bad, depending on how you look at the situation, because TNA is ending their run sometime in the fall, reportedly September. Ring of Honor's run on Destiny's America, it's ending, you know, the end of the year, December. So initially, they put Ring of Honor on there to help boost the ratings for TNA, because Ring of Honor was the lead-in program for TNA Impact Wrestling. However, now that we're getting close to September, and it looks like, you know, TNA is not going to be on Destiny's America come September, it's kind of like, why bother having a lead-in program to help a lame duck show? That's not going to be on here in a few months. So that's one way of looking at it. Another way you can look at it is saying that they're not happy with Ring of Honor's ratings, because I have some of Ring of Honor's ratings right here, and they've actually, the ratings have really not been, you know, consistent. They're up, they're down. I mean, last week, they got their lowest ratings ever for the July 15th episode. They got 80,000 people to watch the show, and another 80,000 people, so 169,000 people total. That was their lowest rating today, because now they're going to be on 11 o'clock after TNA Impact. So it could be they're not happy with the Ring of Honor ratings, just going to, you know, keep up with the contract and honor it until the end of December. However, it could be a flip-flop deal where they're saying, you know what, we know we're not keeping TNA, we're hoping to keep Ring of Honor, let's make Impact the lead-in show to Ring of Honor.
No,
so there's a lot of ways to do this.
I don't see it working out that way. I mean, this is pretty much cut and dry with the situation of, if you're moving Ring of Honor back, that's not a good sign. I'm not gonna even bait it up as though it is. That's not nothing positive about that. All they're saying is that, okay, it looks to me that they brought TNA over to Wednesdays just to help out Ring of Honor, to maybe build Ring of Honor as well, to lock in the Wednesdays. Because if you're going to bring Ring of Honor in, you got them on Wednesdays, you need to solidify that Wednesday, because you got a lot of different programs out, Lucha Underground, NXT, all these different other programs that are out on that day. So you want to make Destination America the destination for America, you know, when it comes to wrestling. And that's bar none. You have TNA and Ring of Honor on one channel same night. That's going to be everybody's main prime objective, is to watch Destination America. You want to make it that extra treat. So it seems to me that Ring of Honor is not pulling their weight. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. TNA was doing hell of a numbers on Friday. So it's really them bringing TNA over to help out Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor ain't helping out TNA. That wasn't help out. And TNA jumped on there and became the number one hit show. So it was TNA trying to help out Little Brother and give Little Brother some kind of rub. And Little Brother ain't really picking up. So right now, it's okay, let's take Little Brother down afterwards, because trust me, it's not going to be good if they're coming on after TNA. That's not good. I mean, after that time, and then around the later time, people are ready to go to sleep. You know, that's no brainer. Too many people got to go to work. Kids got to be in bed, so you're not trying to even take one away from watching Ring of Honor from that. So that pretty much tells you what's going on. And also in September, you know, let's call it what it is. September is the opt out. Either Destination America can opt out or TNA can opt out. So we don't know what TNA has up their sleeve. They might want to go somewhere else because Destination America can say, you know what, we do want you, but we're good with all we signed something with Vault and so forth. So you know it can work either way. But I mean, it'll be a dumb decision on Destination America if they were to get rid of TNA right now, especially the show that's bringing them the most. I mean, it just doesn't seem smart in my book. I mean, TNA's a hit. I can't lie.
Well, I mean, the numbers don't lie because the July 15th episode of, you know, Impact and Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling total for their both showings, they got a total of 169,000 people, where TNA, they got 365,000 people total watching their show. So definitely more people right now are watching TNA than they are Ring of Honor. So, I mean, that could be a sign that points into exactly what you're saying, T-Shawn.
Well, here's the thing. We got to look at it like this, too. TNA has had, you know, really consistent television ever since the Spike TV days. The TNA brand is a lot bigger, and if you want to put it on a level of more, you know, awareness of it, I think a lot more people are aware of TNA over Ring of Honor. I think it's safe to say that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, the only time, I mean, I'm religiously watching Ring of Honor every single week. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't watch Impact anymore. I think Impact is a shits. So I don't watch the show. But there are a lot of people out there who do watch the show. And at the bottom line, you know, here's the thing. Yeah, I call TNA, you already know, I call them the dead brand. And pretty much the reason is because they don't have the talent that they used to. Now, this goes to the possibility of TNA, you know, rumor has it that, you know, GFW, which if you saw the pictures the other night that I posted in the official, you know, Gurk Report podcast group of the show in Las Vegas, it looks like Global Force Wrestling is off to a great start and drew a hell of a crowd out there the other night. Whether they were, you know, whether they were papered or not, which I don't believe they were, because I remember when I went to Impact Wrestling in June of 2013, at the Orleans, same place as they had the GFW show. Yeah, I thought I was going to go in there and get a free ticket, and I ended up paying. So I don't think any of this crowd that showed up for the GFW show the other night was papered at all. The only problem is that the show looked like a hybrid of Velocity and Impact with the six-sided ring. I wish that they would have stepped away from Six Sides. But, I mean, you know, rumor has it, you know, that they're going to be doing some type of an invasion angle where a lot of these TNA guys that have been released are going to be coming in and you know, basically invading the company. I mean, what's your thoughts on this?
My thoughts on this with the TNA situation, TNA to me has been steady. They've been consistent. I watched TNA more than I would watch WWE because their storylines are on point. And when you say about talent, we talk about talent in TNA and them losing. I mean, I don't know, man. They build stars as well. And, you know, now with this whole GFW mix up, it kind of explains a lot that has been going on. I mean, I can't lie. Ever since, 2014, TNA has been consistent with their shows. Except for this last flop up, which was the Hernandez angle and what happened with that. That's the major flop. Other than that, the episodes have been good. They've been on point. You know, it's just hard for them to get arenas due to, you know, their big friend that doesn't want them to get any arenas that likes to buy them out all the time, you know, keeping them down. But they've been doing very well with all of the adversity that TNA is going up against. They've been doing, I mean, surprisingly, I mean, I try to down Dixie Carter. I always talk, sometimes I just talk negative, but I started understanding Dixie Carter and her business aspect. Man, she's going up against a lot. And a lot of people that go up against a lot, Eric Bischoff, you know, Jeff Jarrett, they will sell out that company quick. Dixie Carter has stood her ground. And you look at what she's went up against and the situation she's dealing with and the type of power she's going up against, which is WWE, because Vince is not trying to let TNA get nowhere near close, to get no sponsors, get nothing. Because the minute, if they do get the door, say for instance, if TNA was to get some of them sponsors that WWE has, that's trouble. That's trouble in paradise. That's not good. You know, you really do have the second coming of WCW. You know, but now you have a person that's not like Ted Turner, that's not going to set out the company, that actually cares about the company. You have a female now. You know, she's passionate. And look at it. She took this company. She bought this company from Jeff Jarrett. He sold it. So while everybody's making Jeff Jarrett look like he's the saint, no, this ignorant person sold it. You know, he sold his child off. And she's still nurturing his baby. Still sticking by this child. It's not even her child, her legitimate child. She's still stuck in for this company, which is something that I find very amazing. And all the crap she takes, people, you know, often forget that WWE was in gymnasiums. I remember watching Saturday main event. I remember watching that and seeing British Bulldog and Lex Luger wrestle basically in the auditorium. Basically, I was telling you that earlier about that, and people forget that, you know. And looking at TNA and Ring of Honor, TNA have been around almost roughly the same amount of time. TNA has made them strides and made them climb, you know. And the biggest hag that they have is that they got a little too close. And when you get a little too close to somebody, such as the powerhouse machine of WWE, they're going to set up roadblocks. The report that came out, I believe, in 2013 or 2014, 2013, that came out about the about what WWE was doing as far as reading, getting their sheets, reading their contracts, and also about WWE buying out arenas before TNA can get them. You know, WWE's trying to sabotage everything. There's a reason why they don't mention TNA. There's a reason why they mention Ring of Honor. I pay heavier notes and attention because I used to bash TNA at some point. I didn't like some things they were doing, but I have to understand and look at what was going on. Dixie's doing a lot, and she's working a miracle with this fallen company that's going up against so much adversity. So I'm just going to sit back like a fan and watch and see what goes on with TNA. Does TNA, do they want to stick with Destination America? Does Destination America want to stick with them? Hopefully, if TNA finds something better, great. But I would rather them stay, you know, if I'd rather it just be what it is and continue to prosper and find some way to continue to grow, because, you know, I have no biases towards Dixie. I see what she's working with. She's doing a lot with what she has.
I mean, the way I'm looking at this whole situation right now, I don't want to see an invasion angle with Global Force Wrestling invading TNA, just because Global Force Wrestling doesn't have the history yet as an established entity to invade TNA. I mean, it's kind of like with the invasion angle in 2001, the reason people were stoked to see WWE and WCW go at it is because these are two separate wrestling companies with two separate styles, and you had fans that watched both religiously, but you also had fans that were strictly WWE and fans were strictly WCW. Now, obviously, we know how that panned out. It didn't work out so well. It was horrible. But Global Force Wrestling doesn't have that history like a WCW.
I say this because they don't need that angle. They don't need to have the history or what like that. They are up and coming. They are the young gunners. They are the we're going to move your old butt out the way. That's what the statement is made, and this is vengeance, you know, from what I don't want to give away too much from what I've heard from somebody that's supposed to be left TNA, but hasn't really left TNA. Hope I'll get in no trouble, but that's the angle. The angle is to bring in that bitterness. A lot of more people are coming back. That's why I was telling, Frank D. that it's a great time to be a fan right now, because what you're about to see with this story angle, with the Global Force and TNA situation, it's well overdue. We need this. This is a great feud that we're about to see. It's not the WCW. It's not the WWE. It's a different feel and uprising. It's a bitterness. It's history. It's more in-depth history that's going on between these two companies coming together. And I think both are going to profit, but being as a fan, I just want to see it and enjoy it, because some people are coming back. Some people are returning to there's some coming to save the company. There's some that's coming to be against the company. But the people that are coming back, you're not going to believe who's actually going to side with TNA in this one. I'm ready to watch it and see it all unfold, because it's looking good right now.
No, I definitely feel your excitement for the whole thing. But the thing is, all of the internal struggles and the bitterness that you're talking about, that's all stuff, for the most part, that's been played out behind the scenes, where guys like us, we read the websites and we kind of look into it. That stuff that's played on, no one, that stuff isn't played out in front of the camera, which is how you have to draw the audience in. So they start talking about stuff where, let's say, for example, Jeff Jarrett gets hot and they makes it into an angle that, hey, you fired me, Dixie Carter, because I lied to you about sleeping with Kurt Angle's girl. Now, if they bring that stuff into it, it's like, okay, the three of us know about that because we read about that a while ago, but the casual audience who just wants to know what's in front of the TV, they're going to be like, what? Wait, what are you talking about? So, I mean, if they can create some good stories and not rely on the internet dirt sheet stuff, I think they're in the they're going to be up in the upswing. But here's my thing, too. Jeff Jarrett was the main booker at TNA for a very long time. And in my opinion, he kept himself on top too long because people were starting to say he was having the X, he had the X-Pac heat where people wanted to change the channel where he was champion. And also, he was drawn to a lot of former WWE and WCW talent, which I understand why you do that because they have name recognition. You want to bring them in. But at the same time, you had, from a wrestling perspective, you had the most talented roster on the planet at one point, and you made them play, for the most part, second fiddle to the established WWE guys. That's what people want when they watch another wrestling show. They don't want to see the same guys they used to. They want to see, okay, what kind of stars you bring to the table? Not a bunch of guys that got fired by WCW, WWE, yet have a few of them. So I wonder if Global Force Wrestling becomes the second promotion and TNA kind of goes by the wayside. I wonder if Jeff Jarrett has learned from his mistakes and he's going to push the actual talent that he has signed and not just be like, oh, let's bring in Bully Ray, let's bring Kurt Angle and make them the champion.
Yeah, you know, you're both right in what you're saying. And, you know, myself personally, I'm kind of on the fence with it. You know, what's left to invade? Pretty much how I look at the situation. Okay, I mean, from what we know, you know, reading the sheets, whatever, TNA is on its deathbed at this point. TNA is you know, on life support, barely kicking, okay? And GFW, they're an organization that doesn't even have a TV deal. TNA may not even have a TV deal past September. So you have two desperate organizations working together to try to do something positive. I get that. If they can help each other, that's, I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. And I think that they also need to somehow involve Ring of Honor into this situation as well. I mean, Ring of Honor could probably say, you know, we don't need TNA, screw them, whatever. You all need each other as far as I'm concerned. Because you all need each other because you're battling the 800-pound gorilla in the room called WWE. You know, the whip. That's what you're going up against. And listen, WWE is already making strides against Ring of Honor. Look at the TakeOver show in Brooklyn, the same day as the Ring of Honor Field of Honor show. Same day.
Those shows are 20 minutes away from each other, and their Ring of Honor is bringing in New Japan talent. So is WWE. WWE is bringing in Jushin Thunder Liger for that show.
Exactly.
So Ring of Honor is kind of like, wait a minute, why is New Japan approving their talent to go on, approving talent to go on our show? So that tells you there are meetings happening, taking place. And when push comes to shove, and you look at overall influence, New Japan is going to have more to gain from an association with WWE than they would Ring of Honor. So if the New Japan Ring of Honor relationship comes to an end as a result of Liger being at Brooklyn, then Ring of Honor could be in a situation where, okay, we do need to work with Global Force Wrestling and TNA in some capacity.
Okay, now let me pose this question to you guys. Okay, well, we'll start with Abby, you first, and then we'll go to T-Shawn. Here's my question. If there is a possible working relationship between New Japan and WWE, would we see the inevitable showdown, you know, between, say, the Bullet Club and maybe a Finn Balor on NXT? Is that a possibility?
I think that is a possibility because, first of all, if they do have a working relationship in the works and it does come to fruition, I don't think you'll ever see New Japan talent on Raw, SmackDown, or pay-per-views. I think it goes as far as NXT. And I think you will see, you know, Bullet Club and other stuff happening, you know, in NXT. And the reason is because Vince McMahon, for the most part, doesn't care, you know, what's being done at NXT. He only cares about what's being done on the big show, on Raw and SmackDown. That's it. So Triple H used to run that thing for the most part, with complete autonomy. So, therefore, he's in a position to make some pretty compelling TV arguments. And at the end of the day, TV segments and matches, at the end of the day, Vince McMahon's the, you know, benefits from because you not only have Raw, SmackDown, all those network specials, but you also have NXT catering to the diehards with a possible association with New Japan Pro Wrestling. But I think a Bullet Club angle versus Finn Balor writes itself, because you can have the Bullet Club invade and simply just do the whole, hey, you left us, nobody leaves us, now we're coming to get you.
Sorry to bust everybody's bubble, but this New Japan situation is not going to go anywhere. There's not going to be a Bullet Club reference. None of the above, because you got to look at it. Those sponsors, they ain't having it. They're not going to have it, you know. And WWE's not trying to, you know, lean towards New Japan and do any. It's a little too shaky with that. They're going to book some of the talent to come over, of course, just to get, you know, talent over what I did. But that's not going to be that type of. It's not going to be that type of fascinating matchups and iconic IWGP internet fans, you know. Collaborations, they're not going to give us not that type of stuff. It's going to be done in a different storyline, but not in the one that you would think, you know. So even the New Japan Bullet Club is not going to go anywhere, you know, because now you're going to have to who are you going to let go over? New Japan, get out of here. WWE ain't having it, you know. So no, it's eventually going to, if that does happen, get ready to see your New Japan stars get squashed, get buried.
Well, that's the thing, because New Japan, we're talking about NXT, where it would just, in my opinion, if they did it, it would simply just stay with NXT. But also,
no.
New Japan also does not care, for the most part, about what happens on foreign soil. They only care about what happens in Japan. For example, 1995 in WCW, they had the World Cup at Starrcade, the World Cup Pro Wrestling, best of seven, New Japan versus WCW, and WCW won the best of seven on pay-per-view. New Japan didn't care, because the way they looked at it, okay, well, we're also going to do a best of seven in the Tokyo Dome, where New Japan beats WCW. So New Japan's not going to really care as long as they get their win back on foreign soil.
And then people don't really care. I mean, honestly, I'm going to do it like I told my good friend American. Look, people don't really too much care about a New Japan product, as far as that, it's not nothing that is a major threat to WWE or any other company, because how many American fans can just really, truly relate to them? Can you really understand the languages being pitched? You can't really understand the format that well. I mean, you can get into the action, but then again, there's no subtitles. And if there were subtitles, you want to read subtitles and try to focus on action? No. So, of course, WWE is going to partner up with New Japan, because that's safe haven there. I mean, you can bury their stars, they can bury your stars over there. You take a licking, you take a licking. I mean, so it's nothing really to get excited about them in New Japan. It's just the conflict of interest with New Japan's relationship with WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor. That's the only interesting storyline I see so far. Other than that,
well, it seems like WWE, when it relates to Ring of Honor, really got aggressive towards them and really started to distance themselves away from that group, because, you know, WWE, as far as production, had done business with Ring of Honor to, you know, get some footage of, you know, Samoa Joe, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, etc. So, and they even wrote a column about Ring of Honor on the WWE.com website. So they, you know, had some type of relationship with them. It all went to hell once they got television. Once that station America got TV, that's when the problems started for WWE's relationship with ROH. And that's why, you know, this takeover show in Brooklyn is happening the same night. Apparently, I mean, this damn thing is like, they've sold a lot of tickets for this show. I mean, what was the last count? They like, what, sold 10,000 tickets or something like that? And they originally had this set up for 5,000. So that just shows you how big this show is going to be. And people, you know, had to make a choice there. And I guess these people are choosing NXT.
I mean, the thing is, that relationship, strained relationship, started with the Ring of Honor and WWE, started even further back. Because you got to remember, the WrestleMania weekend, whatever town WWE is in, that's when all the high-end independent wrestling groups come in and try to book shows during that weekend to get a piece of the WWE action. That's when all the conventions also come into town, and you have all the legends come and do autograph signings and whatnot. WWE wants to be the only game in town during WrestleMania weekend, so this particular weekend, they actually booked up as many buildings as possible and put a hold on them, so that way Ring of Honor and other promotions could not book in that area. Like, Ring of Honor's show was very far away from the action at Levi Stadium, because that was as close as they could get to the San Francisco, Santa Clara area. So I think WWE is going to continue to do that, just put holds on buildings. The thing is, they can afford to put a $1,000 deposit on a building and not use it.
Yeah.
I mean, no other company can do that.
We talked about that with the when Hogan went over to TNA and made the Monday Night War situation. You know, Spike, the reason was Spike bringing Hogan them over and pushing for that is because they wanted the arenas. Spike was going to forfeit the money to get the arenas, and they wanted that to be how they're going to be seen. But, of course, Vince had the most smartest idea, which was put money down on these arenas and stop TNA from being able to book into the ring. So they was only forced to, you know, smaller venues and, of course, the Impact Zone, which was genius. I admire Vince McMahon by doing it, because I didn't see that coming. Until I started reading the reports and started paying attention, like, oh, wow. And talking to some of the wrestlers that were around, they were like, man, you won't believe what's going on. I was like, wow, it's kind of disgusting, because it hurts another brand. But then again, you can't do nothing but admire the business of it. Like, that was genius. I mean, that was just pure genius. Get your sponsors to buy these or put payments down on these venues, these arenas, and stop other companies. So, which they're doing for indie companies or alias other companies and brands like Ring of Honor, which is smart. But you hate to see it at the same time, but it's smart, though. It's big business.
Well, you know what? It's no different than when, you know, WCW was around for many years, never ran Madison Square Garden. You know, that was a WWF building right there. So they never ran that. But that's gonna do it here. I think we're gonna wrap it up here with the Raw deal today. I've had fun doing this today. This has been, you know, an absolute pleasure to do this podcast today and shed some lights on some stories and talk about the business. Talk about the sports entertainment business. I actually say that, at least sports entertainment. So
is that your preferred term?
You know what? I do it to be an ass.
Ah.
So, you know, sports entertainment. That's what I call it. So, you know, hey, Vince was right, Steve. Steve Austin, you weren't wrestling. You were sports entertaining out there. You know? that's what he was doing. So, ending on that note right there, we're going to wrap it up here with the Raw Deal podcast. Adley and T-Shawn, go ahead and plug your plugs.
You guys can follow me at Atley Green on Twitter. Just look up Atley Green, and I'll be on there. And also check out my own little blog where I kind of muse about pro wrestling at thegreenscreen.net.
This is the man, T-Shawn Jason. You can follow me on Twitter at T-Shawn, the one. That's T-I-S-H-A-U-N, the one. Also, Wrestle Talk Media on Facebook. Type in Wrestle Talk Media. Add yourself to the group. And also for YouTube content, go to Goody Nation ENT. That's Goody, then Nation ENT, and you'll see some of everything, from women to wrestling to entertainment, all of that.
That sounds very good. Also, check out the Gurick Report podcast on YouTube. YouTube.com/Gurick Report Podcast is the official channel of the GRP and Gurick.net. Also, check it out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. We got some designs up there right now. Kicking ass, taking names, $19.99 plus shipping and handling right now. Plus you get that 20% discount using the promo code Gurick until the 31st of this month. So check it out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. Also, free audiobook. Check it out right now, audibletrial.com/Gurick.net. You get a free audiobook when you join the service. You get to keep the audiobook even if you don't keep the service. Over 180,000 different titles to choose from. Wrestling books, fiction books, nonfiction books. It's all up there right now. audibletrial.com/Gurick.net. And for the latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net.